God. Let's stand on our feet and we'll read a few verses here. We're going to be again continuing in the book of Daniel. We'll be at Daniel chapter 1, and let's begin at verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Praise God. Hopefully you were here last week, because this is going to be part 2. We'll reiterate a little bit where we began, but then we're going to continue in what the Lord wants to communicate to us in regard to the series. Don't get it twisted. Praise God. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And watch verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and love with the prince of the eunuchs. There's something that can happen to each and every one of us, no matter what the environment we are in, if the favor of the Lord is upon you.
Amen. Amen.
But the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "Then Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face worse, liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." Remember, don't get it twisted, it's about a thought process, right? So the thought process of the eunuch was, you're going to end up looking worse if you don't take the king's meat. You're not going to be as strong as other people if you do it your way and not the world's way. David said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, give me 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon thee and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in the matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, watch this, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of king's meat. Don't get it twisted. Part 2 here is God's ways are 10 times better. God's ways are 10 times better. Jesus, thank you for the anointing that is in this room. Lord, the prayer we're praying right now is not the only prayer that has been going forth. There's been seasoned prayer, oh God, that's gone up, I pray, in this midst, in this congregation, in this people, for you to release revelation, I pray, oh God, and bind the lies of our enemy. And we're believing, oh God, before the service is over, once more time, you are going to allow us to be changed. You are going to allow us to have the courage, I pray, that we need to survive in the middle of difficult situations. You are going to empower us with a boldness. And when it's all said and done in every area of our life, we know who is absolutely on the throne. We shall know who is God supreme. And we will let the enemy know time and time again, our God is bigger, our God is stronger, and our God is greater, and we will live our lives in appreciation to that fact. It is a fact, and that is the case. So do your work, we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of the Lord. We left off last week talking about Daniel making up in his mind that he was not going to be defiled and polluted by the plans of the enemy. This is based on the fact that the enemy was trying to convince the people of God that his ways were better. His ways will make you stronger. His ways will make you healthier. His way will make your life be more full. What is coming down to is that the enemy is there to make us believe that God's ways are outdated. God's ways are insignificant. God's ways really don't work. That is why through your walk with God, many times there are other options than to do the will of God. There are other choices that you can make, and there are temptations that will allude to telling you that look at what position that you are in. Look how difficult your life is right now. Look at all the hard situations you are going through. Daniel, you are not even in Israel. Daniel, you are under my jurisdiction. And because you're under my jurisdiction, because you were not delivered from my plot, because you are in a place you did not choose to be in, then you should then recognize by that fact that my ways are better for you. And he begins to put pressure on precious men and women of God who are in current difficult situations, and turn your eyes, turn your consecrations, and turn your desire to serve God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, wholeheartedly towards him. The enemy is constantly trying to distract you by what's around you, to where you're not focused in on calling on God. You're focused in on how bad of a place I have found myself in. And he tells you, why shouldn't you focus on your environment? Look at the territory you are in now. Can we just be honest and say that there are times when we actually agree with our enemy? Yeah. Sometimes we say the enemy is absolutely right. Why should I worship? Why should I keep pushing? Why should I keep on asking God? I've been asking God for a very long time to do some things different. I've asked God for a very long time to heal my body. I've been asking God for a very long time, praise God, to save my children. I've been asking God for a very long time. And yet he's allowed me to be in this place. And let me say that it is true that God did allow Daniel to be in the place that he was in. But we cannot forget that it is Daniel that was also placed in this position to testify that even though you are in a difficult place, I am going to show you it doesn't mean the enemy is now the one you must yield yourself to. I remind you that it was Daniel who wrote the book of Daniel. It was him telling us, hey guys, if anyone was in a bad situation, I was in a bad situation. If there's anybody who could have thrown the towel, I could have thrown in the towel. If there's anybody who could have turned my back on God, I could have. I seen my family murdered. I seen ourselves in captivity. But I want to show you that even when I was in that place, I want you to show you the favor of God can still be with you. I'm writing this book to show my fellow believers in God that no matter how dark it seems, God will get glory in the middle of a situation, and God will show you I can favor you in the middle of difficult places. I can favor you in the middle of different difficult circumstances. I can give you favor in a dark place. And that's where we pick up in verse 8 of chapter 1. Daniel first purposed in his heart that he was not going to allow his circumstances from stop him from serving God. Can I stop for one moment and just encourage all of us, no matter where you are, purpose in your heart that your mind is made up to give God your very best. Your mind is just made up that for God I live and for God that I die. I will make sure in my life I wholeheartedly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in my heart and I'm not going to be polluted by my surroundings. As a result of that, see, this is the part we miss. Sometimes we slow down our energy, but as a result of slowing down your energy on being purposeful and dutiful and consistent and intentional on following the word of God and the principle of God, you miss verse 9. And you want the hand of God to be upon you, but you're not doing verse 8. In order to have verse 9, you got to do verse 8. In order to have verse 9, you got a purpose in your heart. I'm going to serve him. But as a result of him following God with all of his heart, God brought Daniel into favor.
God is wanting to bring some of you into favor among people. Praise God. God is wanting to put you in positions where you can stand tall, knowing that I might be in a bad situation, but there's a God who's smiling down upon me. Let me tell you, that's a beautiful place in your life when you know chaos is all around you, but somehow God has incubated you and given you favor when there's chaos all around you. It could be a mess all around your family. It could be a mess all around issues of the world, but you say, I am in the place where God wants me to be, and God is showing me that he can favor me in difficult places. We have to see that God wants us to have favor in the most difficult places of our lives. He says, have you ever lost your job, but then something better opens up? That's the favor of God that he wants to show you. Have you ever had something that was negative going on happen to you, but then it allowed you to see the favor of God in a new way? Sometimes God withholds you from something because he has something better for you. Sometimes God does not always give you what you think you need because there's a blessing on the other side. How many need to believe that God has a blessing waiting for you? God is saying, my favor is upon you, and just lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. And God is stirring our hearts to say, hey, I got everything in control. Hey, everybody, I'm not being surprised by what you're going through. I can make a way in your life. I will bring you into something better, even when the favor of God seems minute. I promise you, it is there. Every time you look at Joseph, something negative was happening, but it never stopped the word of God from saying he was favored and getting one step closer to the palace. He got sold by his brothers. Seemed like non-positioned in the eyes of God. But as soon as he got to Potiphar's house, the Bible says the favor of God came upon him. Can the favor of God be upon you when you are not where you want to be? Can you keep your integrity when things are not going your way? But if you do, we see it with Joseph. We see it with Daniel. God saying, I'm about to elevate you in a place you should not be elevated. Here you are, a Hebrew slave, but yet you are ruling Potiphar's house. And I'm showing you the favor of God. God wants you to be a ruler in areas where you have been the minority. God is trying to uplift something mighty in your life, but you first got to keep your integrity and purpose in your heart. I'm not going to stop worshiping him. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop being dedicated. I want the favor of God to flow in my life. And then another bad thing happens. You get lied on. You get misunderstood. You get mistreated. Somebody hurts you in a certain way. And the first thing you should do is say, see, I shouldn't stick with this. See, I shouldn't follow God. I did all I could to be right. I did not lay with that woman. I kept my integrity. And look where it got me. So many people are frustrated in their walk with God, because you know you've done your best to be the right, do the right thing and be the right person, and you feel like it's put you in a prison. It put you in a dark place. Can I tell you, even in that place, God told Joseph, I still got favor on you. And in the prison, God gave him favor, and the prison, God made him a ruler. You know what he's doing? You keep your integrity. I'm going to keep elevating you every time the devil tries to destroy you. And you tell the devil, don't you get it twisted. I might be in a prison, but I'm still headed towards my palace. I might be in a dark place, but God will use those things to elevate me. Can I tell you, you will be able to look your enemy in the eye and say, I don't care what you do in my life. God will always turn it around and work it out for my good. I've already purposed in my heart before I ever get to the palace. I'm trusting in the promises of God. Before I ever get my promotion, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. Before my prayer ever gets answered, I made up in my mind. So devil, don't you get it twisted. God is going to make it right.
Yes, he will.
Because God brought favor to Daniel and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, it was because of that favor the eunuch wanted to bring his concern to Daniel, because the eunuch had sincere love and favor upon Daniel. And so the eunuch who worked for the king said, Daniel, let me talk to you for a second. You know I care about you. You know I love you. So my concern to you is, I know this king. Verse 10, put it up there. I fear the Lord, my king. I have respect for him. I know what kind of king he is. And he's appointed you to live a certain way. He's appointed you to do things his way, his style. And why should, when he sees your face, when you don't do it his way, why he should see you weaker than the rest? That's the perception of the world towards people who call themselves believers. You call yourself believer, but you're going through more trials than I'm going through. Come on. You call yourself a believer, and I got concern for you, but it seemed like the way God wants you to do it, things are worse off for you. It seemed like from how I perceive it, you are worse off than those of your peers. You're worse off than others that don't serve God. And not only are you causing conflict for your own life, now you're putting my life. I fear the king. He has a plan for you. He made specific plans for you and your diet and your lifestyle. And this is what he felt concerning what Daniel is choosing. Not to take the king's provision. This is the thought of the world concerning you who have consecrated yourself and you have dedicated yourself to God. It's like us, but we think that the world is not being realistic towards us. They are. And the eunuch is like, you know, I see you live differently. I see you resting on these ways of the word of God. I see you praying. I see you giving. I see you fasting. I see you worshiping. And it's almost like they're laughing at us.
Sacrificing so much, but I see, it seemed like you have extra difficulty.
I'm not talking to anybody here today. You say you serve God, but look at all the trials you're facing.
And the world perceives us that way. I mean, you say you follow him, but then Daniel says, after he says, Daniel, is all that really necessary? Is all that necessary, Daniel? Daniel, God's putting you at a disadvantage. Daniel, God's putting you, and you're going to be weaker. You're going to be in worse condition. It proves you are going to come out pretty pitiful after this is all said and done. And the enemy is speaking and whispering to some of you, look at yourself. You're doing things God's way. It's not working out. And the enemy will love to convince you. Stop doing what you're doing. Don't go back to the basis of your faith because God's going to put you at a disadvantage. That holy living, that separate lifestyle, that consecration you're giving, you're fully engaged with God. Look at where it's got you. Look, your faith has put you in last place. Don't you see that others are better off? Don't you see you're not getting ahead? Don't you see that others are living better lives for themselves? Others are going to outdo you. Others are going to be further than you. Others are going to have the upper hand over you. Others are going to look at you differently because of your consecrations. And not only that, he said, not only is that a problem, but you're putting my life in danger. How many people prayed in your workplace or just being fanatic for God and other people said they're kind of uncomfortable around you? Sometimes you trusting in God makes other people comfortable. Sometimes you go to the doctor, like I know some of you have gone to, and they give you this diagnosis, and you tell them, my God is going to touch my body. My God is going to make it all right. And they got that uncomfortable feeling about it. They say, well, I don't know, but you don't care how they feel about it. You're saying, don't get it twisted. I know my God is a healer. He died on the cross. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. The government of my upon his shoulders, and by his stripes we are healed. And he's saying, devil, I don't care how it makes it uncomfortable for you. I will trust in the Lord. And I don't care if you're out of sorts with my doing. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop worshiping. I'm not going to stop engaging in active worship. I don't care how uncomfortable it makes you feel. I will lift up my head in the sanctuary and I will praise him while I live in this house. I don't care who we make uncomfortable. This is a house of praise. It's a house of worship. It's a house of hallelujahs. And thank you, Jesus. Devil, don't you get it twisted. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be in my mouth. Devil, don't you get it twisted. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. Devil, don't you get it twisted. I don't care how uncomfortable it makes you. I will praise you all the more. What happened with David when the Ark of the Covenant came back to Jerusalem? David
David began to dance and worship. And his wife said, David, you're making yourself a fool. And David says, I don't care. The presence of God is here. I will praise him. I will dance harder than I've ever danced before. I will shout harder than I've ever danced before. Is there any Davids in this house? And so I don't care who's watching. I will praise the name of my God. I don't care who it makes uncomfortable. As a praise on the inside, I can't keep to myself. You don't know what it means to have the presence of God restored back in my life. Is there anybody here? You are lost and undone, but the presence of God is back in your life. You should be magnifying the name of the Lord. You should be giving him glory for all that he has done. So Daniel says, that's your understanding of what I am. Daniel said, that's how you look at me. That's how you view me. Don't get it twisted. Let's have a test then. I want to make sure you're clear on how you should be looking at me. Don't you ever be ashamed to be a worshiper. Don't you ever be ashamed that you're magnifying God in the middle of a hard time. You do it with boldness and say, devil, you don't know how good God really is. And God's about to show up and some turning some stuff around. And so let's have a test. Let's see if I'm weak. Let's see if I'm broke down. Let's see. Let me follow in obedience the things that God wants me to have and not do what you want me to do. It reminds me of Elijah. Elijah showed up and said, let's have a showdown. You think your God is real? Well, I'm going to show you my God is real. And so he came down and he built that altar. And the prophets of Baal, they cried, they screamed, and they cut themselves. And there was no fire answer. But Elijah came and said, don't get it twisted. Put more water on the altar. I don't want no doubt in your mind of any trickery going on. I want you to show how impossible it is for this to happen. I want you to see how impossible it might seem, but with my God, all things are possible. And they said, go ahead and add a little bit more water. I don't want no doubt in your mind. As bad as things are, doused by the water of doubt, the fire of the Lord is about to show up in somebody's life. And then he prayed a prayer. Now, what I find interesting is God never told him to do what he did. Sometimes you gotta do what you do in faith, knowing your God. When you step out, God go have your back. And that's why don't let anybody coerce you into a thank you Jesus. Don't let no one force you to say hallelujah out of your own mouth and out of your own belly. Something should say to your enemy, devil, don't you get twisted. My God's gonna answer by fire. My God's gonna show up. My God's gonna make a way. And as he did it, we know what happened. The God of glory sent down a fire and he consumed the entire sacrifice. You know what Elijah was saying? Don't you get it twisted. I serve the one true God. I don't care who is the majority. I'm always in the majority if I'm on the Lord's side. And so today is the day to choose who you are going to serve. But if you serve God, you are always on the winning side. No matter what it looks like, you are the head and not the tail. Someone clap your hands in this house. Daniel said, don't get it twisted. I know after this test, you will be able to judge for yourself which of us is really at a disadvantage. You think I'm at a disadvantage. You think I'm weak and broken. Don't listen to him, guys. I feel something. If there are eunuchs in this house that are trying to get you to second-guess your faith. Yeah, he wants to second. He wants you, people that are close to you, they want you to second-guess your faith because they see the position you're in. Come on, Daniel. Come on, man. You're in Babylon, buddy. You're not in Jerusalem anymore. Your God is not real. Your God's not alive. Nebuchadnezzar's the king. Why are you putting all this effort? Just join in our side. Do it our way. Lose your faith. Look at you. Look what you're dealing with in your life. You even respect these people. You have good relationship with these people. But they're wanting you to slow down. They're wanting you to give up. They want you to reconsider. All that you're doing is not necessary. It's putting you at a disadvantage. But the word is for you. There is instruction for those that are in that place where people are doubting you. Daniel said, I see you're doubting, but let's give it 10 days. The number 10 has significance in the Bible. In Genesis, we find the phrase God said 10 times, a picture of God's creative power. God can see what situation you find yourself in and then create, because he's a creative God, a way to get you out of it. I need to say that again. In the book of Genesis, God said in the first chapter 10 times, and God gave, and God said, God was using his creative ability to create something that was impossible and made it possible. So God is saying to us with the number 10, if you believe in my power, in my word, I have the creative power to get you out of what you are in right now. God gave the Ten Commandments. God said, give a tenth. God selected the Passover to be on the tenth day. And of course, the time period which was he was crucified and rose from the dead, it was 10 days later. Praise God. That the Holy Ghost came when they went to pray. What am I telling you? Daniel is saying the number 10 is very significant because it means a time of completion. And the Bible tells us he that have begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so devil, don't you get it twisted. If I'm still in the middle of it, God is not done yet. God, I want to believe it all my heart. Devil, don't you get it twisted. God will give me an opportunity to trust in him. And then he says, I do all things well. But what God is asking for is give me an opportunity rather than giving up. Give me an opportunity to show myself strong. And that's why in verse 15, we find it say, at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. After 10 days, there was no denying it. After 10 days, they were better looking. They were healthier. They were stronger. They were fatter than those that have been living the way of the world. When you live for God and when you keep your faith, you say, don't get it twisted. Can I tell somebody, you're coming out 10 times better? Can I preach this message this morning and tell you, when you are truly submitted to God and obey God and walk in his way, there will be clear and undeniable distinction between you and the world. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a child of God, and there is a distinction in my mindset, in my attitude, in my spirit, because I do things according to the word of God. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying. I need you to know that living for God is not a waste of time. Living for God is going to make things 10 times better. Living for God will help you say, I'm not going to shy away because too many other people are yielding themselves to other ways, other religions, other thoughts, other lifestyles. I'm committed to God because of the current situations. They're backing away from God and trying to miss out because they think God has left them. Can I tell you, God puts you where you are so he can show you, watch what I'm able to do in the middle of a difficult situation. I'm gonna bring you out, but not only am I gonna bring you out, I'm gonna make it 10 times better. Clap your hands if you believe it. He says, watch this. The king's plan was gonna take 3 years. Please hear what I'm saying. The ways of the world, it's gonna take a little time to get you down to the bottom of the pit. But the Lord says, I don't need 3 years. All I need is 10 days of consecration. All I need is 10 days of dedication. All I need is 10 days. And I'm going to show you, I'll do in 10 days what the devil can't do in 3 years. I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you need a change in your life. You got to lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm not going to get it twisted. Work on my life. And God says, watch. there will be a clear distinction. I'm going to bring it out, and everyone around you going to know it had to be the Lord. I knew where you were. I knew how you looked. I doubted everything about it, but don't you get it twisted. I came out 10 times better. I want to give a word of faith to somebody. God wants to make your life 10 times better. God wants to help somebody be 10 times better. God wants to help somebody in 2019 and say, this is a year. It's going to be 10 times better. I'm coming out of my problem. I'm coming out of my situation. I'm coming out of my old ways. I'm going to go higher. It ain't going to take me 3 years this time. It's going to happen immediately. 10 times better. If you believe it, shout to God. Give him a praise right now. Glorify the name of the Lord if you believe it. You know, let me say it this way. Look at verse 19. The king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Nope. I'm not calling them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't identify with that when they're going through a problem. They're identifying that the Lord is with me. I will not fear what man can do to me. Don't you get it twisted, devil. When I'm walking in the favor of God, there's none like me. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying when I'm walking in the will of God, there is no better version of me. That's what the king said. It wasn't just them. The king testified. There's something about these four men, they're better than everybody else. When you get a hold of God, the word has to say the children of the Most High God are 10 times better. They go recognize that there's a power on the end. Does anybody believe what I'm saying right now? I want to tell you, the enemy thinks you're weak. He thinks you have a weak mind. He thinks you should be less than others. I say no if I stay clean. I say no if I stay pure. I say no if I don't get defiled and polluted. Don't you get it twisted. I'm not ordinary. Don't you get it twisted. I'm extraordinary. I'm great in the sight of God. I'm all that God wants me to be. Don't you get it twisted. We're not an average church. We're not ordinary. Do you believe it? Say, yeah. We're not mediocre. We're not weaker than our worldly peers. We're 10 times better. But look at our surroundings. Everybody ain't here. It don't matter. My eyes ain't on the people. My eyes are on God. And so long as I keep my faith, it's going to get 10 times better. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't moving nowhere. It's going to get better after a while. God is going to answer some prayer. God go heal. Come on. God go heal somebody. God is going to bring deliverance. Stand on your feet. Your job environment is about to get 10 times better. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them what? For the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to be what I used to be. I'm going to be 10 times better. I'm not going to fall where I used to fall. I'm going to be 10 times better. I'm not going to waver where I used to waver. I'm going to be 10 times better. I'm not going to give up where I gave up before. This time around, I'm 10 times better. Don't you get it twisted. My job and environment is about to get 10 times better. I want you to close your eyes, and you got to receive what you want and raise your hand right now. You're going to say, my health is going to be 10 times better. My marriage in Jesus' name is going to be 10 times better. my finances in Jesus' name. Come on, you got to say it. It's going to be 10 times better. My ministry is going to be 10 times better. My mindset is going to be 10 times better. My ability to deal with trials. My ability to deal with hard times and difficult situations is going to be 10 times better. I want to prophesy in this place right now. He's about to do it. He's about to turn it around. He's about to make it better. But purpose in your heart that you won't be defiled. You got impossible things. I prophesy right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And the unction of the Holy Ghost. That somebody needs to go into prayer and fasting. Even though Daniel fasts. And say, I'm going to consecrate. And it's going to be 10 times better. Devil, don't you get it twisted. The last thing I'm about to do is throw in the towel. The last thing I'm about to do is tuck my tail between my legs and run. The last thing I'm about to do is give up on my faith in God. That's the last thing. Devil, don't you get it twisted. You think I'm weak. No, I'm not. I'm strong in the name of the Lord. I'm coming out 10 times better.